Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I want you to suppose for just a minute that you are in the market for a new car or a different car. And you go and you find one you like and you agree on the price with the salesman and you're just about ready to write the check. And the salesman says, now listen, after you buy this car, you have to bring it back to the dealership one day every week so I can drive it. Would you buy that car? Of course not. Suppose you're in the market for a house and you go and you find a house that you like and you agree on a price and you go to the closing and you're just about ready to write the check. And the previous owner says, now listen, you can have the whole house except for one room. And I'm going to keep that room. I may use it for storage. I may live there. It doesn't make any difference. It's going to be mine. I'll do what I want to with it, but you can have everything else. Would you buy the house? Of course not. No, none of us would do that. If you buy a car or a house or anything else for that matter, you want full possession, sole ownership, absolute control, right? Yet sometimes, even as Christians, this is what we do to God. Okay, I want my sins forgiven. I want a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Man, I want the blessings of God. I want joy and peace. I want to know I'm going to heaven, but I have some conditions. We don't use these words, but we, by our lifestyle and by the things that we do, say, now, God, you can have, listen, you can have all of me except for my job. Or you can have all of me except for my home life or my date life or my recreation and pleasure time. Or, oh, man, you can have all of me except for my money. You know, whatever it might be, you can have all of me, God, except I'm just going to keep this one room. I'm going to do with it what I want to, and you can have everything else. Now, do you really expect God to take that deal? And yet sometimes the way we live our lives, that's what we expect. I'm sure you all have heard or seen or know about the football player that had the cardiac arrest a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember when it was. And man, all the team, everybody on the team was praying on the field. People in the stands were praying. That's wonderful. I think that's great. But you remember it was just the week before when they were criticizing Christians for praying. Had one guy in the NFL for two or three years that he knelt and prayed every game. And man, they just mocked him and shamed him and criticized him. Finally, he got out of the league. That's what we do. Now, God, I want you to help, but I've got conditions. The title of today's message is Unconditional Surrender. And just kind of buckle your seats. Because it's going to be hard to hear. It's hard to preach. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you the truth. I had a different message up until sometime Thursday of this week. I had a different message planned. I knew what I was going to preach. I already had some things in my mind about what I was going to say, and I didn't want to preach this message. But I believe this is a message God wants me to preach, so that's what I'm going to do. And I want to start by saying I love all of you. Don't get mad at me, okay? I have seen groups of churches. I've seen denominations. As a matter of fact, recently I've seen a denomination who's changed their entire doctrine. You know why? Because they're not unconditionally committed, surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. I won't say who it is, but I'll say this. Homosexuality is sin, folks. It's in the Bible. It's sin. And I don't care who changes their beliefs and who changes their mind and who says it's okay. I don't care what the government does. I don't care what any other denomination does. God said it's sin. And I want you to know something. It's going to be sin until the end of time. I've seen individual Christians who try to negotiate with God because they're not unconditionally surrendered. I want you to listen carefully. Christianity is unconditional surrender to God, period. Amen. All of the good things that come with Christianity come from unconditional surrender. Joy and peace and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the hope of heaven, spiritual growth, spiritual prosperity, all of salvation itself comes from unconditional surrender. There is no other way. I know we try. I know some people try. But it just won't work. God just won't take the deal. When it comes time to close, He's going to get up and walk away from the table. Unconditional surrender to God is giving ourself, all of our being, completely to God. No conditions, no reservations, nothing held back. Paul called it a sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I want to look at that, just that one verse today, and I want to talk about that one sacrifice today. There's three components to it, at least that I can see, and I want to talk about those three components. First of all, it is a living sacrifice. I'll read part of the verse again. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Paul pleaded with the brethren, with Christians, to give their bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Total surrender to God. The Jews were familiar with the sacrifice or with the sacrificial system. It had been in their history, but part of their heritage for generations. They understood that, boy, when you brought a sacrifice, you gave all of it. Exodus chapter 29, verse 18, the Bible says, and thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Whatever they brought as a sacrifice, a sheep, a goat, a bull, oil, grain, whatever it was, whatever they brought as a sacrifice, they gave it all to the Lord, to God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if they would have brought the sacrifice? Suppose that they brought a bull to the priest and they said, okay, boy, here's my sacrifice. Could you just cut me out a few steaks out of that and give them back to me? How about just letting me have the animal skin? I'll make something out of it. I mean, you're just going to burn it anyway. But what's the harm in me getting a little individual good out of parts of this animal? The priest wouldn't take it. It would be an unacceptable sacrifice because it wouldn't be all given. To be acceptable, it had to all be given. Listen, it was all God's. It doesn't make any difference, or didn't make any difference, what He was going to do with it. It was God's to do with as He pleases. Man, isn't that a foreign concept? We are God's to do with as He pleases. The Bible tells us to give ourselves, our entire being, to God as a living sacrifice, to live for God, to serve God completely. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what He chooses to do with us. We're His. Now, this is where it gets uncomfortable, maybe a little bit difficult. This is where you might get mad at me. So, remember, I love you. What if God? I'm gonna surrender myself to God. Man, I want to be a Christian. But what if God wants me to come to Sunday school and church Sunday morning and church Sunday night and church Wednesday night? I just don't think I can do that. Now, God, listen, I'll tell you what, I'll come Sunday morning worship, okay? Will you take that deal? Sunday school is really for kids or, you know, it's for somebody else. I don't really need Sunday school. And they start that thing at 9:15 in the morning. And my goodness, on Sunday morning, I want to sleep. But listen, church is at 10:30. I'll be there every Sunday. Thank you, Lord. Sunday night, well, you know, sometimes the football game's not over. Sometimes it gets cold. Sometimes it gets hot. Sometimes I want to go to the lake on Sunday afternoon. So I'm not sure about Sunday night and Wednesday night. Forget it. I work. I'm tired. But Sunday morning, I'll be there. Oh, it got quiet. Did you know? I figured this out. If my math is right, and I don't check me, but I think it is. There are 168 hours in every week. That's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 168 hours. Did you know that if you came to Sunday school, morning worship, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you would be at the church less than 4 hours a week? That is less than 2.5% of all of the time that you have every week. Now, what if you went to work only 2.5% of the time? You'd get fired. What if you went to school only 2.5% of the time? You'd flunk. What if you ate only 2.5% of the meals that you have every week? That's the deal, God. Take it or leave it. What if God sends you to the backside of a foreign country to be a missionary? Now, wait a minute. I didn't sign up for that. What if God chooses to let you struggle financially? What if God chooses to let you suffer affliction emotionally, physically, socially, whatever it might be? What if God chooses to let you have physical pain, unrelenting, chronic pain? Listen, we're all for unconditional surrender as long as God makes my life comfortable and easy. But boy, if it gets difficult, I'm not too sure. I want to consider the Apostle Paul. He wrote these words. God inspired Paul to write these words. And I want you to listen to a few things about the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 11:24-27, Paul said, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." That's 195 lashes with a leather whip. 195 lashes with a leather whip. He said, "Thrice, 3 times was I beaten with rods." That's something similar to a broomstick or more like a shovel handle. 3 times they beat him with the rods. "Once I was stoned." You remember that? They left him for dead. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. "A night and a day I've been in the deep." That means he was in the water all that time. "In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." That doesn't sound very easy or comfortable. And then there's this. 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul had a thorn in the flesh. I don't know what it was. It doesn't make any difference. I think it was some sort of physical affliction. It caused him pain. He called it the messenger of Satan to buffet him. It wasn't a hangnail. It was something significant. And he said, "I prayed to God 3 times. Would you please heal me?" And 3 times God said no. Now, we don't read the verse that way, but that's what happened. God said, "No, my grace is sufficient for thee." And Paul prayed again, and God said, "No, my grace is sufficient for thee." And Paul prayed again, and God said, "No, my grace is sufficient for thee." I don't like that. We don't like that. Years ago, I talked to a Nazarene minister. He was retired. But I was talking to him, and he had a physical affliction. I don't remember now what it was, but he had something wrong with him. And he was just sure God was going to heal him. You know, the Bible just tells me God's going to heal me. And that's what we believe, and that's what we want. So when we read this about Paul, I have this thorn in the flesh, and I prayed for God to heal me, and he said no, and he said no, and he said no, and we don't like that. Paul, I mean, surely God wanted to heal Paul. He was a Christian. He was an apostle. Surely he wanted to heal him. Paul must not have had enough faith. Right? Have you ever been? I've been told that. I had a lady tell me one time, I had something going on and I was praying about it. And she said, well, you just don't have enough faith, brother. Paul must have been praying. He must have not have prayed long enough. He should have prayed more than three times, right? If he had prayed seven times, after all, seven is the number of completion. God probably would have healed him on the seventh time. Naaman dipped seven times and he was healed on the seventh dip. He didn't pray long enough. Paul didn't use the right words. He didn't pray the right way. Maybe he didn't kneel and he should have. Maybe he did kneel and he shouldn't have. Maybe he closed his eyes and he shouldn't, or he did and he shouldn't. You know, whatever it was, he didn't do it. He just didn't do it right. If he had done it right, God would have healed him, because that's what we want. That's what we believe. I want you to listen very closely to what I'm about to say. This is scriptural. It was the will of God for Paul to have the thorn in the flesh. I say that, I wrote that down, I thought about that, and I'm going to tell you right, when I said it right now, I just kind of got a little thing went through my back. It was the will of God for Paul to have the thorn in the flesh. He said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Now, don't you think that was difficult for Paul? I do. Don't you think it'd be discouraging? I do. Some of you have physical pain and afflictions. I've had physical pain and afflictions. And we've prayed for God to heal us and he doesn't do it. And sometimes maybe you've even prayed for God to heal you and he just says no. I mean, you don't hear the voice, but you get the message, no. And that's difficult. We don't like that. God, deliver me from these circumstances. And God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. God, would you change my home life? And God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. God, would you help me financially? Lord, I'd like to be rich. Would you let me win the lottery? And God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And we don't like it. So we question God. And we question his love for us, and we question our unconditional surrender to God. Okay, if you're not going to do that for me, then I'm not going to do this for you. You want me to come to Sunday school and worship and Sunday night and Wednesday night, then you'll heal me. And if you don't heal me, I ain't coming. Would you listen to what the man who had 195 lashes with the whip said? 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10, Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul was unconditionally surrendered to God, so he took pleasure in knowing that the will of God was being done in his life, even if it meant he had to suffer. So, Christian, are you unconditionally committed to God? Are you unconditionally surrendered to God? Even if it means your circumstances don't change. Even if it means healing doesn't come. Even if it means your life may be difficult. Even if it means persecution. Even if it means distresses. Are you unconditionally surrendered? And do you joy in knowing that the will of God is being done in your life, even if it's difficult? Paul found pleasure. I take pleasure. pleasure. Paul found joy. Paul found peace because Paul was unconditionally surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't matter what God did with him, all that mattered was that God used him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, maybe I better move on. I want you to notice the next thing about this sacrifice is that it is an holy sacrifice. He said, I beseech you that you'll present your bodies a living sacrifice. He said, holy, acceptable unto God. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, if you were here Wednesday night, this is our memory verse for the month. It says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Boy, we shy away from that word holy, don't we? We don't like that. Oh, no, I'm not. Oh, preacher, I'm not holy. Well, listen, God said, be holy. He said, it is written, I am holy. Be ye holy. Well, I can't be holy. It's too difficult. No, it's not. If God commanded you to be holy, then God will enable us to be holy. The Holy Spirit in us will allow us, help us, encourage us, guide us, direct us, and we can be holy. Holy means separate from sin. So, Christian, we have to quit sinning. We cannot continue in sin. I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, well, preacher, I wish you'd tell somebody else this. Well, you're here. Go home and call the folks that aren't here and tell them this will be up on our website in a couple of days and they can listen to it, okay? Holy also means separate for God's use, for God's service. We must surrender our will, our plans, our desires to the will and the plan and the desire of God to be used in His service. We must do our best to resist sin and present ourselves as a holy sacrifice to Him. By the power of God, we can do that. Only then will it be an acceptable sacrifice to God. Only then will we find fulfillment and joy and peace and all those things that we want out of Christianity. Only when we are unconditionally surrendered to Him and holy in the way that we live our lives. And then finally, this sacrifice is reasonable service. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now I know, boy, you hear this message and you think, Pastor, that's unreasonable. God's asking too much. You mean He wants all of me? He wants all of my life? If we go back to the house analogy, you mean He wants every single room? I can't have a little for myself? No. And it's not unreasonable. It is very reasonable. We live. We exist as a gift and by the power of God. Acts 17:28 says, "For now I want you to listen closely to this. For in Him we live and move and have our being." Would you just raise your arm up a little bit? Just move your arm a little bit. Just go ahead, do it. Just move your arm, shake your head or something. You did that by the power of God. You didn't do that on your own. Oh, I know scientists and medical people say, well, the brain sent electrical pulses down to your arm and your muscles reacted. In Him we move and have our being. I think that's reasonable. We're the creation of God. He allows us to exist. He causes us to exist. He gives us air to breathe, food to eat, a place to live, cars to drive, homes to live in, clothes to wear, shoes to on our feet. He gives us everything that we've got. He gives us a brain. He gives us a heart. Reasonable to me that we would give all that we have to Him. In addition to all of that, Jesus Christ gave all that He had for you. We usually talk about Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross, and that's certainly part of it. But listen, he left heaven. Jesus was in heaven. He was on the throne of glory, and he left that and came to earth. You take a poll, if we could take a poll right now of all the people in heaven, all the saints who have died and gone to heaven, there's not one single one of them say, yeah, I'll come back. Jesus left heaven and came to earth. Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life for you and for me. He lived a life of poverty for you and for me. He suffered affliction for you and for me. They spit in his face. For you and for me. They beat him with a cat of nine tails till his internal organs probably were exposed. For you and for me. They nailed his hands and his feet to the cross, and his very life's blood was shed for you and for me. He gave his life for you and for me. It is only reasonable that we live unconditionally surrendered to him. Don't you think? First Corinthians 6:20 says, "For ye are bought with a price, and that price was the very life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's."